Amen.
I'm going to ask you to turn today. Amen. We have a word from the Lord today. From Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at something today. My wife and I actually were talking about something this week that's related to this. And it's something that's so important for all of us because we all find ourselves in this situation, amen, of from time to time, of, you know, of not being happy or being displeased with other people, amen, for something that they said, something that they did, something that they didn't say or didn't do, amen. We want to talk today about the danger of taking offense. And in fact, our title today is Take No Offense. And all of us, amen, from time to time in our lives, we've taken offense at certain things. Mm-hmm. People have done things to us. We didn't like it. We took offense. And some of us are very quick to take offense, you know. And when we do, it's something that is so very dangerous for us as children of God to take offense. And yet, how many of us, amen, that person cuts us off in traffic, oh, no, you didn't,
right?
Yeah. Take offense.
Yeah. Amen.
Sometimes, you stand in the supermarket, having a person, you know, all of a sudden, you think someone's trying to cut in front of you. Or you stand at the meat counter. You ever be at the meat counter waiting to be, right? And then the deli man or the deli woman says, next, and the person who just walked up,
right.
Gonna start giving their order.
Right.
Yeah. And if they didn't see you standing there, and what do you do? Oh, I'm next.
Uh-huh.
But with offense sometimes, you know?
Wow.
Because I was like, how dare you try to what?
Jump
in front of me.
Right.
Somebody say something to you. Jesus. Take offense.
Jesus.
Amen. We all are susceptible to it. We all have done it from time to time. God wants to talk to us today, though, about the danger of it. And he's saying unto us, take no offense. Amen. And we're going to look at some things today to see and to understand what the Lord is talking about. Let's look at the scripture in Mark chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 1. It says, and he, talking about Jesus, and he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hand upon a few sick folk, and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went round about the villages, teaching.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks now, God, for all your many blessings in our lives which we receive from you in the name of Jesus. And Father God, we believe by faith that the best blessing right now for us is to hear your voice. So Father, speak unto us now.
Yes.
Bless us to hear you, O God. Bless us, O God, to understand what it is that you are saying unto us. And Father, empower us by your Spirit not only hear it, but to go forward today and to take this word and to apply it to our lives immediately,
yes,
that we may begin to see results, godly results in our lives that will please you. Father, I thank you right now that every ear in this place is attentive to what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
Father, strengthen me right now, God, to speak forth your holy word with the spirit of humility, love, meekness, and with gratitude, God, for the privilege and the honor to do it.
Yes.
And Father, we give you all the praise and all the thanks for what you are doing and what you shall do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're talking take no offense. And let's get right into the scripture and you see what happens here, right? Jesus goes to his hometown. He goes to Nazareth and he's teaching. And they don't deny that he's teaching with power and authority. But they say, who do you think he is? We know him. Isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that the guy we grew up with? Don't we know his sisters and his brothers? Don't we know his mother? Who is this he think he is to be talking to us, telling us stuff? And then the scripture explains. They said they were offended at him.
Yeah.
You ever been like that? If you're honest, have you ever been like that? That someone starts to tell you something, and for whatever reason, you think they don't have a right to be talking to you like that. Maybe they're younger than you.
Right.
Who are you to tell me? Maybe they just started on the job, and you've been there for a little while. You just started last week. How are you going to tell me how to do this?
Wow. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Maybe they're your kid telling you something. Well, who are you talking to like that? Amen. And we don't even have to get into the spouses thing, do we? Huh? Spouses and couples, amen. Oh, they take offense quick. But you ever been in that situation where you think someone, and you say that you have what? You have no right to talk to me like that. I'll tell you this right now. Whenever we start claiming rights, you need to check yourself right there. You have no right. Sometimes we get offended at people when they come talking to us and we think they don't have any right to say what they're saying. And so we get offended. And if we look at the scripture, look at what happens now. They get offended at Jesus. Not because he did anything wrong. They even acknowledge in verse number 2 that he was speaking with wisdom. They even acknowledge in verse number 2 that he was doing mighty works.
Wow.
But they said, but who is this guy? He grew up with us. People don't accept some of us, amen, because, amen, even family members, they don't accept us. But they think they know who we are. Who do you think you are? I used to change your diapers.
Right.
I used to babysit you. Who do you think? Now you're going to tell me stuff? But you've been in the Word. They have it. God's giving you wisdom that they don't have. And now you want to share wisdom with them and they take offense. Who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. Amen. So they took offense at Jesus. They acknowledged what he was saying was right. They acknowledged he had power, but who do you think you are?
Amen.
So they got offended at him. And Jesus said, well, you know, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. Isn't that something? That among his own family, his own kinfolk. Isn't it something how people outside your family treat you with more respect than people inside your family?
Yes.
I just can't get that. I don't understand that. And maybe it's because they know, I've seen you when you get up.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you look like. I know what you say. I know, amen?
Right, right.
Wow.
People outside hold you in such esteem.
Mm-hmm.
People within your own family, amen? We kind of disregard one another. Lord help us, amen?
Amen.
But look at the result of them taking offense. Jesus has all this power. He has all this authority given unto him by God. But you look at verse number 5, and it said he could do no mighty work there. Where there? In Nazareth, in his hometown, in the place where they were offended at him.
Amen.
Except, that saved means except. Except he laid his hand upon what? A few sick folk.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few.
Wow.
And he healed them. So look at this. Jesus has all this power. But because they took offense at him, they didn't get the advantage of the full power of Jesus operating in their life.
Jesus.
Do you see that? Because he can only heal a few of them.
Right.
He can heal all of them.
Right.
He had the power. But because they took offense, he can only heal a few.
Mm-hmm.
The full power of Jesus is not available in their lives because they were offended. God says to us that we shouldn't take offense. Why? One of the first things is because we will not be the beneficiaries of the full power of God operating in our lives. If we're going to take offense, we're going to limit the power of God operating in our lives. We're going to go forward and we're going to see this come to light. Because God's going to show us this. This is not just some statement that seems like it makes sense. This is truth that we're going to see from the scripture. And we see it right here. Amen. Here Jesus can do all these mighty works. Heal the sick.
Yes.
Give sight to the blind. Give hearing back to the deaf. Give lame men the ability to walk again. To heal limbs that were deformed, amen, to cleanse lepers, to raise people from the dead. He got all the power. But yet he can't do none of that here. Why? The folk offended.
Jesus. Jesus.
Do you understand?
Amen.
Take no offense, God said. Why? Because if you take offense, then you're opening the door, amen, to the power of God sort of seeping out of your life. And so now, instead of getting the full effect of the power of God operating, you get a little something.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Don't mean you can't do nothing. Oh, there are a bunch of offended people who can still sing and still preach and still teach. They can do a little something.
Right.
Don't mean, amen, you can do a little something. But sometimes people think that little something means, oh, God's operating in me. But do you know, if you were a person who took such offense, how much more God could operate in your life?
Yeah.
But you got a little something. Amen? But it limits or prevents the full power of God operating in our lives. Now, let's look at this. That's not the only thing it does. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. There we're going to look at John the Baptist. And you know, John the Baptist, amen, we were looking at that in our Bible study this week. You know, the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist, amen. When the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and told him that you and your wife are going to have a son. You're going to name him John, and he's going to tell others about the Christ. Amen. And John the Baptist fulfilled this ministry, didn't he? He was baptizing people. They thought he was the Messiah. He said, no, 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 I'm not the Messiah. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. He said, the one who comes after me, he said, I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. Amen. So he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. He even baptized Jesus. He said, I'm going to need to be baptized of you. Jesus said, no, let it be. Amen.
Wow.
And then he baptized him and he said, I saw the Spirit of God descend on him like a dove.
Amen.
So he knew exactly who Jesus was, didn't he?
Yes.
But watch this in Matthew chapter 11. Look at verse number 2. Now when John had heard in the prison, because he got arrested by Herod, remember? And he heard in the prison the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples and said unto them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now let's just stop right there. We just said that John the Baptist knows who Jesus is. He was telling everybody who Jesus was. But now he's sending two of his disciples and say, go ask him, is he the Messiah, or should we be waiting for someone else?
Wow.
Why is he asking that question? Let's keep reading. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, go show means go tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go and tell John. Look what he said, though. Again. What's he saying? That John had already been told.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when you got to tell somebody something again, that's because they've been told already. They knew it already.
Right.
Go tell it again. Go tell again those things which you do hear and see. Look what he said. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then this is the key. Look at verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me.
Right.
Why Jesus added that part? Because he knew why John the Baptist all of a sudden was asking these questions. John the Baptist was offended. What was he offended at? I'm sitting up in here in jail, Jesus.
Jesus.
Mm. Now how come you ain't doing nothing to get me up out of here?
Right.
And he's sitting there long enough. Jesus should come in here and get me out.
Mm-hmm.
He should come in here and get me out. And so Jesus doesn't come and get him out. And so what does he do? All of a sudden now he has doubts about who Jesus is. He has doubts about whether Jesus cares. And so now he sends two of his disciples and says, go ask him, is he really the one, or should we wait for another?
Wow.
How did he get to that point when he spent his whole adult life proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah?
Jesus.
How did he get there? Because he got offended. That's why Jesus told him, go tell John what you see, and then tell him this too. Blessed are those who aren't offended.
Wow.
But he knew the only reason why John was asking that question is because he took offense. Mm-hmm. He took offense at something that wasn't done. And so now we see something. Not only does taking offense limit the power of God in your life, limit the power of Jesus in your life, when you take it, you and I take offense, we can get to the point where we start doubting who Jesus is.
Jesus.
We can start doubting how much Jesus cares about us. Took offense. Some people take offense that God hasn't answered their prayer. Mm-hmm. We went to the movie yesterday. My wife dragged me.
Amen.
She didn't drag me. I like going to the movie with my wife.
Amen.
Even if I see bad movies, I didn't like going with her. Amen.
Amen.
So we went to see God.
Not dead.
God is not dead. And in the movie, there was a character, amen, who he was an atheist, and he said he became an atheist because he was 12 years old, his mother had cancer, he was praying for his mother to get healed, and he had to watch his mother die. And because of that, he said, why didn't God save my mother? And so because of that, he turned from God, and now he became an atheist. You see? God doesn't do what you think he should do, he doesn't do what you think he should do, when you think he should do it, or how you think he should do it.
Yes.
Some people have gotten offended
right.
that that's true. Yes. Amen. I've been waiting for you, Lord. I've been looking for you, God. I've been hoping for you, Lord, to do something for me.
Amen.
Amen. And then God doesn't move the way they think he should move. And so what happens? They take offense.
Right.
And because they are offended at what God does, then all of a sudden, what happens to them? They start to doubt who God was. John the Baptist knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He told everybody, behold the Lamb of God. But once he got left in that prison, he sends his disciples and said, go ask him who he is. And Jesus said, go tell him. Blessed are those who don't get offended in me. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, we cannot take offense. We take offense, the power of God doesn't operate in our lives fully. Amen. We take offense. What happens? We begin to doubt who Jesus is,
Amen.
Who God is. Amen.
Amen.
Listen. And the devil wants us to take offense.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Get mad at that person the way they looked at you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The way they looked at you. Get mad because you walked into the office today and you said good morning to somebody and they just walked past you.
Mm.
Come on, somebody. Some of us got quick trigger offense. Amen?
Amen.
The minute something doesn't go right, huh? What'd you say? Some of us like Robert De Niro, amen? That movie Taxi Driver. You talk to me? You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Oh, we're spoiling for a fight sometimes. And it's funny on the one hand until you realize the danger of
yes.
taking offense.
Right.
Yes.
You strip the power of God from operating in your life.
Wow.
You begin to doubt who Jesus is. Amen. That's not the only thing, though. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Take no offense. Amen. Take no offense. No offense taken. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody step on your new shoes. I remember I was like that when I was a kid. You know, you get a new pair of sneakers.
That's right.
You know, you got a new pair of sneakers.
Right.
And see, this is how we was. We were kids. So we were jealous of each other.
Right.
If somebody got a new pair of sneakers, know what we wanted to do? We wanted to stomp on them.
Right. Yep. Yes, sir.
That was the whole thing. Oh, you got a new pair of kicks?
Yep.
We wanted to stomp on them. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I might cut short. Listen, I'm not the only one in here. Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Like sometimes I take the subway into New York, and I don't like people leaning on me too much. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, this these figures, come on now. And I sit there sometimes. You ever been sitting there? You sit there and you're like just so mad on the inside. Wait till I get up out of here. Then the further get up, right, they leave. You had a nerve to thank God. How do you want to thank God with a bad attitude?
Oh, Lord, I thank you that you got there.
God said, I had to make him get up. Otherwise, I'm going to have to do something to you. Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, God.
Let's look at John chapter 6. Jesus is preaching, amen. He's preaching them. He said, he's saying unto them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, amen, you can't be saved. And they had a hard time with this. Amen.
Amen.
They said, what in the world are you saying? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's the only way that I will raise you up at the last day. And let's look at verse number 59. We're in John chapter 6. It says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. And look at this. It says in verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, look at this, does this offend you? Come on, somebody. He wanted to know right away, okay, are you offended at what I'm saying?
Right.
Right? Are you offended? What? And if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. But there are some of you that believe not. Now let's jump down to verse 66. Now watch this. From that time, what time? After he was speaking this, amen, and teaching this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Let me tell you something. Offended people can't walk with Jesus.
That's it.
Amen.
That's right.
Offended people can't walk with Jesus. The minute you start taking offense, I'm telling you now, you start walking by yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Offended people can't walk with Jesus. You see it right here. They took offense, and guess what they said? They were walking with Jesus all along. Everything was good until he said something that offended them.
Wow.
Oh, come on, somebody. You were friends with that person since high school, but the minute they said something that offended you,
right.
You don't talk to them no more.
Right.
Wow. I'm telling you, see, we got to be careful about taking offense.
Right.
Amen.
So now we've seen three things. You take offense, what happens? It says what? They were offended at Jesus' teaching. Who do you think he is? That's the carpenter's son. What happened? He only healed a few sick. Power of God limited in your life. Why? Because you take offense.
Jesus.
John the Baptist take offense. He knew who Jesus was his whole life. Now all of a sudden, go see if that's him or we should wait for someone else. Now you don't know who Jesus is or whether he cares about you. Why? Because you took offense.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You were walking with Jesus. You go to the church meetings with Jesus. You there telling him, preach on, preacher, and all these things. But now he says something, took offense, and now you say, I ain't coming to this church, man. And you walk, come on, somebody, and you walk away.
Yeah.
Why? Because you took offense.
Yes, sir.
Wow,
Steve.
Amen. God is telling us this morning what? Take no offense. Now let's look at something else. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 13.
Wow.
John chapter 13. Let's look at verse number 1. Let me know when you're there. Glory to God. John chapter 13.
Amen.
We there?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now we know Judas betrayed Jesus, amen? And a lot of times we think of Judas as only being that he betrayed Jesus. But understand something. Judas was one of the 12, man. Huh? He was one of the 12. What's that mean? He was one of the close. He was in, right? Jesus had more than 12 disciples. How many of you know that?
Mm-hmm.
But the 12 were different.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He prayed for those 12.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He spent all night praying about those 12.
Yes.
There were a whole bunch of other people that decided to follow.
Right.
But he prayed for those 12.
Right.
Judas was one of the 12. Walked with him for 3.5 years. Now look what it says here. Verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil, look at this, having now. Some of you might say, having already.
Wow.
Put into his heart to betray Jesus. I want you to see something, though. They're sitting down now having the Last Supper. Amen. But I want you to see something in John chapter 12. Okay? Just turn back to John chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. We're not going to read it, but we're going to summarize it. Amen. Remember, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. And in John chapter 12, Jesus now is in Bethany. And he's in the house with Lazarus and his family. Other people are there too. It says in verse 1, who have seen him get raised from the dead. The disciples are there. Amen. And then Mary comes with her ointment. And she anoints Jesus.
Yes.
And look what the scripture says. In verse number 4. Then say one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, which should betray him. Which should betray him. See, he wasn't at the betrayal part yet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He didn't care for the poor. He said this because he was, amen, he was a thief.
Mm-hmm.
Look what Jesus said unto him. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has he kept this. For the poor ye have with you always, but me ye have not always. Now picture what's going on here. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
They're in the house. Whole bunch of folk are there.
Yes.
The disciples are all there. People from town are all there. Mary comes out with ointment pouring on Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, stands up and says, hey, wait a minute. This is such a waste. This could have been sold and given, and we could have given it to the poor. Sound religious, don't it?
Right.
Sound good, don't it? Sound spiritual, don't it? Oh, we could have given this to the poor.
That's right.
And Jesus said, leave her alone.
Wow.
In front of everybody.
Everybody.
Right, right.
Wow. He said that in front of everybody.
Right.
Jesus.
And Judas took offense.
Jesus.
Because the next time we see Judas is in chapter 13.
Right, right.
Wow.
And now we know the devil has entered his heart.
Right.
What was the entryway for the devil to come into Judas's heart?
Wow.
He took offense.
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
Right, that's right.
And if you don't believe this, I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 14.
Wow. Jesus.
Look at Mark chapter 14. But now you don't have to have some intervening chapter.
Yeah.
Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9 tell us the same story. Now, Mark chapter 14 says in verse number 4, there was some that had indignation at what Mary was doing. In Matthew, it says that some of his disciples had indignation. But you see in John, it said Judas did, right?
Right.
Know what that tells me? Judas had the biggest mouth. In other words, he was the one that stood up the most and said, you know how sometimes Peter, like, oh, but Judas stood up on this one, though, and said, no, this is a waste of time.
Wow.
Right? And Jesus said to her, leave her alone in front of everybody. Anybody ever correct you in front of people?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you take it? You didn't like it too much either. And you even started saying like this, you know, and you know you were wrong. But you try to turn it back on them. Know what you tell them? Well, you could have took me aside.
Right?
You could have took me aside.
Right.
You didn't have to say that in front of everybody.
Right.
But wait a minute, 20 second time out. But you opened your mouth in front of everybody.
Right.
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 But you want me to take you aside. Why didn't you take me aside before you opened your mouth?
Yes, sir.
You were bold enough to stand in front of the group and tell me what you were thinking.
Jesus.
Now guess what? Sit down and keep quiet.
Jesus.
And now you sit there mad. Come on, somebody. You gotta be real about this.
Right.
So now he told her, leave her alone. Now look at this. Now he said in verse 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Amen.
Amen.
Now look at the next verse. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him.
Wow.
There ain't even nothing in between.
Wow.
He got mad. He said, oh, it's like that?
Oh. Right. Right.
Yep.
And he went out.
Yeah.
Come on. And he went out. And all of a sudden now, he's betrayed. He's betraying. Now, I was reading, this is a book by Rick Renner, that's called Sparkling Gems from the Greek, And what he does is that he goes through the New Testament and he picks out scriptures. And then he goes within the scripture and he focuses on one or two words from the Greek to get some added meaning, to the verse, And in John chapter 13, where it says that supper was being ended and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him, he said that word, that phrase, put into, he said the Greek word, and I'm just pronouncing it phonetically, B-A-L-L-O, so I'm just going to say ballo. He said that Greek word ballo means that it means to cast or to thrust or to inject. And he said, and it carries with it the meaning of casting and thrusting and injecting quickly.
Wow.
So now you look at this and it says, and supper being ended, and the devil now having quickly put into his heart to betray.
Wow.
See, the minute you take offense, that's an open window to the devil, and he moves quickly.
Jeez.
To try to put into your heart the type of thing that now is going to result in you betraying somebody.
Right.
That you lived with.
Right.
Jesus. Jesus.
Huh? You've walked with them. You've loved them. You've trusted them. But now you took offense, and the devil moves quickly to inject into your heart.
Jesus.
To turn your back on.
Wow.
To betray them. To get them back. To get bitter. To get envious. Amen. Why did he do it? Because he's looking to cause division. And this thing happens quickly. And I want you to know something, amen. The devil is an expert at causing confusion and discord. He's an expert at ruining relationships.
Yes.
He's an expert at it.
Yes.
But you know what he uses? When we take offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we take offense, we open up, amen, the window for him to come in. Amen?
Amen.
And it happens quickly. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4, it's verse 26 and 27, it says that we should be angry and sin not.
Yeah.
And it says, let not the sun go down on your wrath.
Yeah.
Amen. Know what it's saying? It's saying don't hold on to your anger overnight. How many people have violated that commandment? Yeah, that's right. Keep looking forward so nobody knows it's you. Amen. You mad at something somebody did to you last week.
Amen.
But if you look in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And then the very next verse says, neither give place to the devil.
Wow.
There's a link, amen, to us being angry and to us giving place to the devil. Come on, somebody. Because he's looking for that. He wants you to be mad at your husband because he didn't put the cap on the toothpaste. Come on. He wants you to be mad at your wife because she didn't cook the chicken the way you like. Come on. He wants you to get mad, amen? He wants you to get mad at your kids because the room's not clean enough. Oh, Lord, help me.
Amen.
Right, Joseph? Lord, help me today. Amen? He wants you, though. Amen? He wants you to get mad at that person cut you off in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to get mad because you made all the you baked all the cakes for the social at the church, and pastor didn't even announce you from the podium. He wants you to get mad. He wants you to get mad, amen, because your boss, amen, didn't give you credit for the project that you did all the work. I did all the research. Why does he want you to get mad?
So that he can check things into your heart quickly.
So that now you want to end the relationship. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, this is after David had killed Goliath. Amen? Mm-hmm. He was, don't you know he was the minister of music for Saul?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And in 1 Samuel chapter 18, it tells us there, amen, that David, and you know what, let's look at it, that David was doing a great job for Saul.
Yeah.
Saul had set him over the army, mm-hmm. And he was doing great things for Saul.
Yep.
And Saul was troubled in his spirit. And David came unto him first and ministered to him in song and by playing music. And it would calm Saul's spirit. Mm-hmm. And then we know that when the Philistine giant stood out there, Goliath stood out there directing the army to God, that it was David that took Goliath out. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And look at verse number 5 of 1 Samuel 18. It says, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. So wherever Saul was sending him, he went in obedience to Saul. He's ministering unto Saul. He took out the Philistine giant. And now he's obeying Saul wherever Saul sent him. And look how he behaved himself. It says, and he behaved himself wisely. He prospered in everything that he did.
Yes.
And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. Sounds like a good time, doesn't it? And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Uh-oh. Look what happened. And Saul was very wroth. He got upset. What? He took offense. Look what he said. He said, the saying displeased him. He said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what shall he, and what can he have more than the kingdom? Mm. It says, and saw I David from that day forward.
Wow.
Now he's suspicious of him. Mm-hmm. And look what the next verse says. And it came to pass on tomorrow.
Jesus.
Tomorrow. See how fast the devil moves? Amen. Look at this. That the evil spirit sent from God. Now, God's not evil. We're not going to stop here. Amen. God's not evil.
Right.
Amen. 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 So this evil spirit from God, John says that the evil spirit is the devil. Amen.
Amen.
God just simply allowed it to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as at other times. David's still ministering. Amen. David's not trying to take anything from Saul.
Nope.
And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. Look at this. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall. He wanted to nail David to the wall. Amen? And David avoided out of his presence twice. Saul tried to kill him twice. Why? Why is he upset at David? David ministered unto him. David killed the Philistine giant. David goes wherever Saul was sent him. David behaves himself wisely. Why is he against David? But he took offense at the fact that they were giving more credit to David than to him.
Wow. Jesus.
Now somebody who's trusted, somebody who's helpful, he's now trying to kill him.
Jesus.
Because you took offense. You see what offense does to us, amen? Mm-hmm. And look who does it, the evil one. And now here's the thing. There's some people who say, well, listen, I ain't going to let people just say anything they want to me. There's some people who take pride in their attitude.
Yeah.
They ascribe it to their heritage, you know. I'm part Indian. As if all Indians got attitude, you know what I mean? I'm part Irish. You know what I mean? My grandfather had an attitude, my father had an attitude, and I got an attitude. It runs in the family. Right? People take pride in having bad attitudes, having anger, and you know what I mean?
Right, right.
This is silliness.
Right.
And here we are, we get mad fast.
Yeah.
Huh? And look what it does. It limits the power of Jesus in our life.
Wow.
It gets us to question Jesus and whether he cares for us. Mm-hmm. Amen. It causes us to walk away from Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then it leads to discord and betrayal and, amen, it ruins relationships. And then here's the thing. Some people say, yeah, but I get mad, but I ain't going to let that happen to me.
Wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen to me. But you know, the book of Revelation tells us, amen, that it tells about the dragon, amen. And we know he took a third of the stars out of heaven. Mm-hmm. And we understand when you read that in Revelation chapter 12, you read it in context, it talks about how Satan was the devil. Amen. He was fighting against Michael, Archangel, and everything. But he took a third of the stars out of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, the good thing is, two thirds still up there. Amen.
Right. Amen.
But he took a third of the stars, right? He took a third of the angels out of heaven. That's his demons walking around with him now, right? Took a third of them now out of heaven. And we know how Satan got kicked out of heaven. He got kicked out. Why? Because we saw in Isaiah chapter 14, he said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to ascend to my throne. I'm going to do this. Amen? See, that's the language of the devil. I'm. Amen. Everybody we talk about, I'm going to do it. I did it. That's the language of the devil, amen? Gracious people talk in terms of we.
Amen.
Amen.
Even when you do it alone, if you're part of a team, you still speak in terms of we. We won the game. We got the project. We got the new client. He got kicked out of heaven because he was what? He was lifted up with pride. But watch this. But he took a third of the angels with him.
That's right.
Now, you gotta understand, the devil's a defeated foe, but he's defeated in the power of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus.
He ain't defeated in us, right? Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?
Right.
Jesus. He's a defeated foe, but yet he's still crafty. Mm-hmm. And we gotta understand something. If he's crafty enough to convince a third of the angels to leave heaven, heaven was perfect. And if he's crafty enough to convince a third of the angels to leave heaven, what makes you think he can't convince you to leave your marriage?
Jesus.
What makes you think he can't convince you to leave your job?
Jesus.
What makes you think he can't convince you to leave your church?
Mm.
And know how he does it? He wants you to get mad. And then he starts coming. He'll sidle in on right alongside you. They always treat you like that.
Yeah.
They never give you any respect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They didn't have to talk to you like that out in public. He could have taken you to the side and told you that.
Wow.
Nobody has a right to embarrass you.
Jesus.
After all the stuff you've done for this employer, You should be.
Wow.
You can start your own business. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well-paying job. Next thing you know, if you didn't like what somebody said to you, you quit. I'm putting in my 2 weeks notice.
Wow.
And where it started from? Somebody got mad.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Anybody can relate to this in your own life?
Right.
How many things that you've ended because you just simply got mad at somebody?
Right.
And maybe the ending has been temporary. Such as, you didn't speak to somebody for 2 weeks. Oh, you speak to them now. But there was a time you didn't speak to them for 2 weeks. Because you was mad.
Mm-hmm.
It was your birthday, and they didn't even call you to say happy birthday. Now you mad.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, yeah, Lord Jesus, right. Lord Jesus, help us.
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because we get mad and the devil uses our taking offense to cause division.
Wow.
Amen.
Right.
There are many people now who have stopped coming to church or stopped going to the church that they belong in because they took offense.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Hmm? There are people right now who are divorced who are supposed to be married because they took offense. There's some people now who are out looking for a job, and they had a God-ordained job that they left because they took offense.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
If Judas never took offense at Jesus saying unto him, leave her alone. Right?
Right.
His heart would, amen, the devil could not have injected betrayal into his heart.
Amen.
But he injected betrayal into his heart. Amen. That's why husband and wife, listen, Lord, he's speaking to me. Amen. Let's stop taking offense so quickly. Amen.
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 Yeah, your husband came in from work and he didn't notice that you cleaned the carpet. Okay. And then, you know, what's the matter, babe? What's the matter, babe?
Nothing.
Nothing. Took offense. Now, guess what? Not talking for the night. But now he takes offense. Right? And now neither side is talking. We got to realize the devil wants us to take offense because he's trying to strip the power of God out of our lives. Amen? He's trying to get us to the point where Jesus can only heal a few sick. Amen? Because the rest of the folk are offended. So he can do a little stuff in your life, but he can't do everything that he wants to do in your life. Amen? Why? Because he takes offense. He wants you to question. Amen. He wants you to walk away from the Lord. He wants you to walk away from the church. Walk away from his promises. Amen. And then he knows that if I can get you to walk away, if I can get you over here, now I can inject into you confusion and strife and envy and bitterness and wrath. Amen. And discord. Right? And I can separate you. I separated a third of the angels from heaven. I can separate you.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
It can happen. Amen.
Amen.
We've seen it in our own lives.
Amen.
Paul and Barnabas, they went on that first missionary journey. They were doing fine. But Paul said, let's go back again and look on the churches that we established. And Barnabas said, okay, fine, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul said, no, I ain't taking John Mark. Why? Because Mark left them in the middle of the first missionary journey. And so Paul was so mad. He said the division between them was sharp over John Mark. Paul got offended. I ain't taking Mark.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
What happened?
They split up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What happened first? Somebody got mad.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
How in the world Joseph's brothers came up with this plan? Let's throw them into a pit and tell our father that an animal ate them. Because Joseph had the temerity to have a dream and tell them about it. I had a dream. They heard the dream. They took offense. Who do you think you are? He's the youngest lineman. Who do you think you are?
Right.
Next thing you know, they're out there. He's coming to check on them. Know what they said? Here come that dreamer now. They took offense. And next thing you know, they wanted to kill their own brother.
Jesus.
Do you see what happens? And if you think that you're not capable of this, I won't want to kill anybody. Yeah, but you'll assassinate them with your tongue.
Jesus.
You'll assassinate their character. Do you understand? Amen?
Amen.
Wow. Let's look at two verses and then we close. Amen? Take no offense.
Amen?
Amen. Understand that they... And listen, we need God to do this, amen? Don't go home and try to will yourself into not taking offense. Some people are going to go home and talk, I'm going to count to 10 before I get mad. You know what I mean? I'm going to count to 10. All you're doing is delaying the fireworks. count to 10. You start off pretty good. One, two, three, four. After a while, you start going two, four, six, eight. Then you start counting by five, ten. I didn't say how I'm going to get to 10. I just said I'm going to count to 10. I'm counting by fives.
That didn't work.
Glory to God. Let's look at Proverbs 18. Let's look at the two scriptures in Proverbs. Amen. Take no offense. Amen. Amen. God called us to forgive. We know that. Amen.
Yep.
But here's the thing. Let's look at Proverbs 18 and let's look at verse number 19. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Look what it says. It says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Once somebody gets offended, it's hard to win them back.
Wow.
You see? Because once offense comes in, then that division, a wall is built up. And you think about it, any time you and I have gotten offended, doesn't it feel like you put up a wall between you and that person who offended you? Right? You say, I'm not going to say anything to them. All of a sudden, somebody you talk to every day, you don't want to talk to them anymore. Amen? The wall comes up. And that wall, the Bible said that once that person is offended, it's harder to win them back than it is to conquer a city. Don't tell me offense is not powerful, amen? It's a powerful, destructive force. And so many of us, amen, and I'm including myself, amen. If you don't want to include yourself, that's fine. God will put you in the number, amen? But that we do this. We take offense. And we think it's okay. And we think it's okay if, you know, well, we make up later. But how many of you know there's a more excellent way? Amen? Amen. There's a more excellent way. Let's look at Proverbs 19. We'll close on this one. Proverbs 19 and 11. It says here, the discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression.
Amen.
Glory to God. Listen, it's good to forgive someone. In fact, it's a commandment, amen? That you forgive. How many times you forgive? 7 times? No, up to 70 times 7. What does it mean? Stop counting. Don't count. Just forgive. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive you, Christ says. Amen? And when you stand praying, forgive.
Yes.
He says, why? Because if you're praying with an unforgiving heart, you're wasting your time.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So forgiveness is a commandment, right?
Right.
And that's good. So we know forgiveness is something we have to do. But this is something different. This says it's your glory to pass over a transgression. That means you don't even get mad in the first place.
Amen. Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
That means that person doesn't need forgiveness because you didn't get mad at them in the first place.
Right.
Some of us struggle to forgive, so you know you're going to struggle to not get mad in the first place.
Right.
But when Jesus was teaching about forgiveness, the disciples said unto him, Lord, increase our faith.
Help me.
But then Jesus responded to them and he said this, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, what was he saying? He said, it's not the size of your faith that matters. It's that you exercise the faith that you have. So listen, we can't go to him and say, Lord, increase my faith so I can do this. No, you exercise the faith that you have. And each one of us have faith because if you're saved, it's the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that right, Christian? Right?
Amen.
So we all have faith. We've all been given the measure of faith. Now exercise the faith that you have.
Amen.
Right? And with God's help, amen, we can do all things. Amen?
Right.
Through Christ who strengthens us. So we can do this. Amen? But we can't do it by ourselves. But this is the standard that we want to raise to. Amen? Instead of taking pride in the fact that you get mad so fast, come on, man, that's low stuff. Huh? Let's lift up the standard of God, amen? The standard of God is, okay, we're going to forgive, but here's even a higher standard. Pass over the transgression. Overlook the transgression, amen? Huh? You know what, you stepped on my new shoes, but it's all right. Amen? Yep, I've been standing in this line all this time. You walked up, you saw me standing here, and you want to act like I wasn't here, and you want to act like you next when the guy says next. You know what? Go ahead. They just look at me like, I don't know about that. My time is as valuable as yours. It is a better way to live.
Yes, it is.
It's not only a better way to live, but listen, it'll keep us more connected to God, and guess what? It'll keep the devil at bay where he can inject some stuff in your heart that can cause division, envy, strife, confusion, bitterness, wrath, discord, and all the rest. Amen?
Right.
That's what he's looking to do. Amen? God is not the author of confusion, but he is the author of what? Of peace in the church. Amen? And this is what we have to do, but not just in the church, but in our homes. Amen. In our marriage, with our children, with our spouses, on the job, right? But you'll find one of the things is that we can, with the help of God, get to the point where we're not taking offense when people do things to us. How much better off we're going to be. Amen.
Amen.
How many of our relationships will remain intact?
Amen.
I don't have to look far. I can look at my own family. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, and you might be able to say the same thing. Where I can see relationships that aren't what they should be. Because somewhere along the line, somebody got mad. Somebody got mad. And now siblings don't talk. Somebody got mad. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what? There's no one happy and pleased about that except the devil. Why? But he caused the confusion. Amen?
Amen.
So listen, God is saying unto us today, amen, take no offense, amen. Take no offense, no offense taken. Amen.
Amen.
Next time something happens, listen, you know, that quick trigger of yours, we need to pray to God, Lord, show me the areas of my life where I'm just, you know, I'm prone to take offense.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't mind words too much, but you better not look at me like that. You know what I mean? So it's Chicana, right? So it's got that in us. We got that, you know, who you looking at? Amen. Someone don't mind that, but you can't talk to me a certain way. Amen. You can't ignore me.
That's right.
I'm standing here. You can't ignore me. Whatever it is, we're going to ask God to help us with it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's rest on our feet and pray together. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you.
Yes.
Glory to God. Father, we give you praise and thanks right now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us, God.
Yes, Father.
We thank you, God, for your word that you've shown us, Father.
Yes, Father.
You've shown us the danger of taking offense.
Yes, Father.
Father, we first ask you, Lord, to look upon each and every one of us and forgive us, O God. Of all the times, God, that we have taken offense because someone did something we didn't like.
Yes,
right. Lord Jesus, you taught us that we're going to have people who would not treat us right. You said that we should do good unto them, that we should pray for them.
Yes.
That we should continue to follow behind the example that you and our Heavenly Father have set. This way we can show that we are truly children of the Most High God. Forgive us of all the times, God, that we were so concerned with ourselves and our rights that, God, we took offense.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have covered us in your mercy at such times.
Yes,
that you have not allowed the devil to consume us. But, Father God, we desire to be better.
Yes.
And so, Father God, we have read in your word that it is the glory of a man to overlook a transgression.
Yes.
Lord, we ask you to teach us your more excellent way.
Yes.
Teach us, O God, to turn the other cheek. Teach us, O God, to turn the other way. Teach us, O God, to put a guard over our mouth.
Yes.
That, God, that we may bring you glory.
Yes.
Father, we desire to stay connected unto you. The enemy desires nothing but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. To destroy our relationships, destroy our marriages, destroy our homes, destroy our communities, destroy our witness, destroy our churches, oh God. Destroy the plans of God for our lives. But God, we declare today the devil is a liar and there's no truth in him. But Father, we will follow you wherever you lead. And you have commanded us today, take no offense. It's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Father, it's our desire to live by what you have spoken unto us today. Now, Father, empower us by your Spirit to leave this place and to begin putting it into practice right here, right now. Father, we all want to do it. Glory to God. And Father, we believe that now that we have set ourselves to do this thing, that God, before lunch is served, there will be an opportunity to take offense. Father, we ask you right now to prepare our hearts right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that we may respond in a God-honoring way. Glory to God. That, Father God, that this word that you have spoken unto us will not be in vain.
Yes.
Father, we thank you right now, God, for your blessing, for teaching us, oh God, for sharing with us, oh God, for just imparting unto us your wisdom, giving us your revelation. Father, we ask you now, glory to God, in your great mercy, to heal any relationships in our lives that have been destroyed. Glory to God.
Thank
because someone took offense.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. No matter if it's something that happened just on yesterday or if it happened many years ago, there's nothing too hard for our God. Father, we ask you to heal, to restore relationships right now, God, that have been destroyed because someone got upset. Someone took offense. Someone got angry. Father, restore it now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' great name.
Yes,
so, Father, we just thank you now.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for equipping us, oh God, with your most holy word.
Yes.
Now, God, grant us the grace to go forward and be doers of the word, that we truly may be blessed in our deeds.
Yes.
And that you may be glorified in the earth through the life we lead. Father, we bless you. We praise you. We honor you. We love you today, God.
Yes.
And we give you all praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Grace and truth. So we worship Almighty God. Redeem the one source.